done through his mighty power, how he has gotten us this far in our very lives. As I told the church in my last devotion on Wednesday night, I wind up having to do two funerals of some young men that died August the 13th and 14th. And the ironic thing about their death is that they were born on the same day I was born. One was my age and the other one was 1 year later. And as I thought about those men and the message that God was trying to bring to my hearing or to my eyes is that, hey, that could be me lying in those caskets, in that casket or both of those caskets, whatever. You know, hey, I'm just glad it's not me. Not yet anyway. But the idea is that I start considering how God has blessed my life for these many years. You know, how he took me from a little town called Moss Point, Mississippi, to Birmingham, Alabama, to escape the drugs and the addiction that was happening there in my own hometown. How I could have witnessed or saw myself as a drug addict or rapist or as some monster that has been affected by the things of this world. For in Birmingham, Alabama, that's when I discovered the Church of Christ and ran into a group of brethren that loved the Lord and was willing to nurture me to the point where I grew some there and in turn became a minister of the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, it was not an easy road. And for most of you, I know that it has not been easy for you trying to live this Christian life. But I need you to start contemplating and observing the things that God has brought you through. The things that the rough times, the troubled waters, the difficulties, the challenges that you have faced in this life as you try to live this Christian life. I want you to notice in Psalms 107, and I've been studying these chapters here, and we're going to kind of do just a survey of three chapters here, but we want to start with Psalms 107, verse 43. And the Bible here encourages us, if we are wise, we need to observe or contemplate these things. Listen to the scripture as I read it. It says, who is wise and will observe the things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The Living Translation puts it this way. That same verse, he says, those who are wise will take all this to heart. They will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. I like that word when he asks, when they will see in our history the faithful love of God. I'm asking you this evening to look back into your life. Look back into your experiences and see how the love of God got you to this point. Because I believe if you were not faithful, you wouldn't be here tonight. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If you were not committed, you wouldn't be here this evening. So let us look back in our own lives, as I share some of the thoughts that are being projected from the scriptures here in the Psalms. I want you to look and consider what the psalmist has to say about the history of Israel, and that we need to consider some of these things as we move forward into our future. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Psalms chapter 105, and we'll start there, and we're just going to be going through some of the scriptures just to give you a picture of what God did for his people, how he protected them and loved them, and yet time and time again, they rebelled against his holy will. How many times How many times, as you look for the chapter, have we rejected the will of God, knowing what was right in our lives, and yet chose the wrong thing? Chose to do something that is contrary to God. Don't you know and realize while you were participating in your sins, you could have died there and your faith would have been sealed? Let me assure you that after this life is over, whether or not you want to change like the rich man did, oh, he wanted to change. He wanted help. He wanted the love of God, but he had separated himself completely from God when he died in his sins. The psalmist says in 105 and starting at verse 3, he says, "Glory ye his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders, and the judgment of his mouth. It is our responsibility as Christians to seek the Lord. We need to put forth the very best effort in trying to know our God. The psalmist wants you to reflect on your responsibility as a child of God to seek him. For the Hebrew writer writes, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Understand, we realize that you wouldn't be where you are without faith. Yeah, y'all hear me? You need to contemplate that. You need to consider that. It is only because of your belief in God that you have moved this far in your life. Y'all hear me? Look what he says there in the Hebrew letter. He said, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." My brothers and sisters, that's putting forth a great effort to know who God is. God will reward us. You know, it could have been me in one of those caskets many years ago, but God got me this far, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Realize all that you have been through, the car accidents, the trials, the tribulations, and realize that God has played a part in your life since your birth. God played a part. You didn't get here all by yourself. God got you here to this point. God got you where you now are a member of the body of Christ Jesus, of the church, of the living God. God got you here, my friends. Consider his great love for you and what he has done for you while you live here on this earth. Man, we need to seek him. We need to diligently seek him, for he has great rewards for those that love him. Look at Psalms 105, verses 8 and 11. "He hath remembered his covenant forever, for words which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I will give thee the land of Canaan, the lot of thy inheritance." Remember, God has made a commitment to the members of the body of Christ. And he is not one that will break his covenant with us. Anytime the covenant is broken, it's our fault, brothers and sisters. Remember, once we stay faithful to the Lord, God is going to keep his promise unto us. We can be assured that God will keep his word. I want you to reflect back on that, because the only reason we have been blessed to this point in life is because God's faithful covenant to us. That's the only reason. That's the only reason that we have life and we have what we have. Because God is in the business of guiding and directing his people. Y'all hear me? God is in that business. He will keep his covenant. Do you remember your commitment to God after your baptism? Do you remember? I need you to reflect back on that. Why were you baptized? Why did you move to be buried in the watery grave of baptism? See, I remember my baptism. I remember my brothers teaching me that it was for the remission of my sin. And when he buried me in that grave, in that watery grave, and raised me up, I knew I had been added to the body of Christ. And I committed myself to be faithful unto him unto death. Do you remember your commitment to the Lord after your baptism? This is something that we should consider and observe, because we could be lost in this wicked world of religious confusion, just like the world is. We can be caught up and be doing the Holy Ghost. And I'm just amazed. We had an event out there at the prison this past weekend, this guy came from Montgomery, and he brought this lady up in there, and she wanted to bring her flags and stuff and do some praise dancing. I said to myself, what does that have to do with God? You know, therefore she gets out in front of the guys and she runs around and waves her flag. And, you know, I could have been lost up in all that. I could have been caught up in that mess. But when I thank God, when I look back, I can see that God has led me to the truth. And I'm so thankful for it. I see people praising and worshiping God and don't know the God that they are worshiping. Have you considered your baptism lately? Have you looked back in retrospect at your commitment to God? Are you holding up your end of the bargain? Because God's going to keep his. God's going to keep his, whether you keep yours or not. I had a guy come tell me the other day, as I was talking with him, he said, I finally learned the difference between a covenant and a contract. Okay, I said, explain me the difference. He said that, you know, in business, we make contracts with one another. And if one party breaks the contract is null and void. Y'all got me? And I said, well, what's a covenant? Well, the covenant is that the one who makes the covenant has to keep his part of the covenant, even though the other party breaks their part. Do you realize what you are saying? God makes a covenant with us, and we agree to the terms of the covenant. And if we break the covenant, then the covenant is null and void. God never will break his covenant with us. We're always the one that turn our backs on God and go back into sin. Don't consider the contract that you have made. Consider the covenant that you have with your God, church. Trying to encourage, look back at the commitment that you made after your baptism, after you came to some understanding that you needed him. He didn't need you. Remember that. psalmist is trying to get us to see and to understand. Look at verses 13 in Psalms 105. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yet he reproved kings for their sake. Hey, when they weren't but a small group of people traveling from one nation to another, you better not mess with the anointed of God. Huh? Yes. Yes, don't you touch. Verse 15 says, saying, touch not my anointing and do not my prophets no harm. Don't you know that you who are here today are representatives of God's kingdom? Don't you know you are ambassadors of God's holy and divine will? You need to consider how important the role you play in the kingdom of God. You may look or seem insignificant in your own eyes, but to God, you play a very important role. You shine light in this old dark world that we live in. Come on, let's live up our covenant with God. Let us fulfill our obligation that all the world may know who our God is and may glorify his holy and divine name. Look at verse 16 in chapter 5. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He break the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Let me share something here. When you think that something is not working out in your life, stay faithful to God. Look at this man by the name of Joseph, how God prepared him. Look how God prepared him. First of all, he was sold as a slave by his own brethren. You know, let me tell you, brethren will hurt your feelings sometimes. But don't you quit on God. After all the trials and tribulations Joseph went through, he remained committed to our Lord and Savior. I need you to reflect back. Look at the people that you know that have died on this journey that we're on and have lost their souls because of their sins. You know them. You have witnessed it. You see where they were. And look how many people have turned their backs on the will of God. Have given up on the church of our Lord and Savior. Let it be a testimony for you that you can keep your commitment and your faithfulness to him as Joseph did. No matter what happened, Joseph, wherever he went as a slave, he worked to achieve something for God. Even when people lied on him and threw him in jail, he was still committed unto God. God has a plan for us, and it's up to us to hold up our end of the bargain. Can you see that? Look at the history. He has proven himself every time. When we are going through things, stay faithful to God. He has prepared a way for you and I. Watch what he says in Psalms 105 and verse number 44 and number 45. He says, and gave them the land of the heathens, and they inherit the labors of a people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. What? It was all about God getting them through all of this trials. You know, in Egypt, they suffered as they crossed the mountains and the desert for 40 years. They went through all kinds of things without bread, but God still provided. Without meat, God still provided. Without water, and guess who was there to provide for them? Man, God will provide for us if we just stay faithful and committed unto him. Now, let's go and see how wicked those folks became. Because at one point, here they are praising God for the land that they inherited, and then they turn around go to 106, and we're going to finish this quickly, and I won't keep you much longer. Look at chapter 106 there in the Psalm. Watch what the psalmist acknowledges here in verse number 6. He says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitudes of thy mercy, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make them his mighty power to be known. You know, when they were standing at the Red Sea and they began to see Pharaoh's army approaching, you know, they told Moses, you brought us out here to die. It'd been better if we stayed in Egypt and died there and have been slaves. Now, here all the time, they had been crying for relief. They had been crying. And yet here they are set free. They have more gold and silver than they have ever had before in their entire lives. And God had sent all these plagues upon the Egyptians to force Pharaoh to make them free. And now here they stand at the Red Sea grumbling. Is not that the way we are sometimes? God don't got you all through all this mess in your life, and all you want to do is sit back and complain about what he hadn't done. Yes, you may not say it to him like that, but that's exactly what you are doing when you sit back and you worry about this and worry about that. Don't you know God is looking out for you? Yes. Hadn't he got you through many storms before? Haven't you overcome many trials because of his great love? You need to sit back and consider what God has done. Yeah. Get a little point, get to a little difficulty, have a little sickness, a little pain, a little trouble, and then we want to, come on, brothers and sisters. God has gotten you through this before. Man, he's gotten you this far. Let's praise him and acknowledge him and realize that this life is always going to be full of trials and difficulties, but God is going to get us over to the other side. Amen. And hey, the only thing I'm worried about in this life, y'all know what I'm worried about? I'm not going to worry. Because if I can't do anything about it, why am I worrying about it? Am I not a child of God? If I get sick today and you all have to come and visit me in the hospital, hey, why should I worry about that when I know God's hands are up on me? How do you know God's hands are up on you is when I consider what he has already brought me through. Man, death is a natural part of life. Why should I fear? I love the psalmist when he says, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. You know, we always look like that's going to, I used to think that's when I'm dead and in the grave, I have nothing to fear. But hey, I'm walking through death right now. I see my life slowly degenerating. I see my coming. I see the end. Brothers and sisters, if I live 30 years from today, I know that death is ahead of me. And as I walk through this life and see the corruption and the disease, how it has affected our nation, I know that I'm in this valley. And I keep fighting. I keep on pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. I will not give up in this life. I will keep fighting and keep fighting until God says, son, it's time to take your rest. Ain't gonna quit on God. Ain't gonna look back and go into sin like the children of Israel did. Look at them when they're at Mount Sinai. Look at it. They forgot all about God. And they, I got it here in the text. 106, 19 through 21. Watch, look what it says. Somebody, Brother Stone, you might read for. Read that, 19 and 21. 106, 19 through 21. Watch what they did after God had delivered them out of the hand of Egypt. Look what they did. They did what? They made a calf of gold. What? Watch what he says. Read. Did y'all hear that? These folks, after God had done so much for them, after God had led them across the Red Sea, after God had led them through the wilderness, feeding them manna and providing all the necessity, their clothes are not even wearing out during this time. They get to Mount Sinai, Moses leaves them for 40 days, and they build a calf. An animal that eats grass and falls down and worships it. See, they forgot about. They did what, Brother Stone? They forgot their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. Y'all see? Brothers and sisters, we never can stop reflecting back on what God has done for us. They forgot him and served an image of an animal that ate grass. Wow. At this point, I want to raise the question, how low can you go? How low can you go? Well, let the psalm tell you how low they went. Look at Psalms 36 through 38. 106 through 38. Watch what the Bible says. Somebody want to read for me? Look at verse 36 there. 35 through 36. Watch what the Bible says. Somebody read for me. Wait now. Come on, I'm coming down because I'm finna close this thing out. They did what? But doesn't the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers? Don't tie yourself up with folks that don't believe? Huh? And brothers and sisters, we got to be extremely careful here because we can get to mingling with some folks that are not gonna benefit us. I'm not saying don't you go out and try to teach people the gospel of Christ, but I need to tell you, you need to watch your friends. A lot of people, a lot of good Christian men and women have been mingling with folks that don't believe like they believe, and in turn wind up convincing them that they should believe like they believe, and we not convincing them that they should believe like we believe. Oh, how many times have you heard them folks act more spiritual than we do? Here we have the truth, and them folks act better than we act. If those folks are acting better than we act, then we're not considering the love of God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We are not contemplating what God has done for us in this life. Come on, brother. Yeah, come on, read some more for us.
Did what? And learned their deeds.
Learned what they were doing. You know, I talked about how people are mingling with the religious world in the church, and now we are taking on their image. Yeah, we're trying to look like them. Why? Because we want big numbers. Brothers and sisters, don't you realize it's good to be with a faithful few? Don't you realize it's good to be with folks that's going to stand on the truth with you? Come on, don't let's not mingle with them. Yes, let's respect all men. But truly, those of a household of faith, those who anchor down and remember and reflect back on what God said. Now, again, I want to bring you back to my point. How bad can it get? Now, they mingling with these folk, right? They are worshiping idols like these folk. Now, read. What, Jimmy? God trying to get you to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says these things were for our example. They were for our purpose, that we won't fall into the same trap they fell into. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit, but you go back and you read it. Watch what it says. Read.
And they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils.
What?
Can
you see how bad things can get when we stop reflecting on the will of God? That we can start acting just like they are acting and start offering our innocent children to their idols and to their gods? What drove these people to think such craziness? Let me tell you, they forgot the God that led them out of Egypt. They forgot the God that got them to this point in their lives where they inherit a land that they didn't even have to dig and till and remove the rocks from. They, the Bible said they should.